October 10th, regular town board meeting.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to a regular town board meeting of the Monroe Town Board for October 10th, 2023. And have the clerk please call the roll.
Councilmember Stewart?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
And Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And if everyone would please rise for a pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. First item on the agenda for number two is Highway Department. We have a request from the Highway Superintendent for authorization to do necessary repairs for truck number 10, which is a 2014 International. As is indicated to the board, the repairs are extensive and unable to be completed at the Highway Department garage. Allegiant Trucks in Hoosick Falls completed several diagnostic tests in order to determine the problem, and they estimated the cost of repair to be $5,321.27. And that may increase as they get into the actual work on the truck. This repair will be paid from account DB5130.405, which has a current balance of $10,189.29 as of September 30th, 2023. The budget amount for 2023 was $35,120. Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That's all you have, right, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Agenda item three is Recreation Department. We have a couple requests, purchase requests from the Rec Director. The first one is in relation to the purchase of a essentially a brush hog, a rotary cutter. On the three-point hitch of the tractor down there. Before we do that, we do have to transfer funds before we can do that. And so I have a resolution to transfer funds in the amount of $540 from account A8810.4, which is General Cemetery's contractual, to account A7140.2, which is General Recreation Equipment. And this, as I indicated, will help secure purchase of the rotary mower, which will actually be utilized not only in the park, but in the cemeteries.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion?
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So with that, I'll take up the purchase request from the Rec Director. This is for a three-point hitch, PTO operated, power takeoff operated mower to go on the back of the New Holland tractor. And he has secured three quotes. The first one is from Capital Tractor in Greenwich, New York. It's for a Land Pride 6-foot with a slip clutch and a laminated tailwheel, including front rubber guard and rear rubber guard. The next vendor is Emmerich of Southlands Falls, also a 6-foot rotary cutter, and includes a front rubber guard, rear rubber guard. The Capital Tractor price is $2,940. The Emmerich price is $3,140. And then a third vendor was contacted, H&M Equipment of Amsterdam, New York, also for a 6-foot brush cutter, and their price was $4,300. This would be paid from account 7140.2, and the recommendation is to go with Capital Tractor Land Pride RCR 1872-11-32 slip clutch with laminated tailwheel. It's not only the least expensive, but the Rec Director indicates that they have a strong relationship with the vendor. and that would be for $2,940. This would be paid for from account, again, 7140.2, which has a balance of $8,146.16.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Under discussion, we did budget for this more in the amount of $2,400 this year. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next request from the rec director is for a set of pallet forks for the New Holland Workmaster tractor. Three prices were secured. First, the Capital Tractor of Greenwich was $1,100. The second vendor, Southside Sales and Service, for a price of $1,399. And then the third vendor was Spartan Equipment out of Maryland, which is $1,095 plus $236 shipping for a total of $1,331. This purchase we made from account 7140.2. which has a balance of $8,146.12 minus the last purchase as of September 30th. And the rec director is recommending Capital Tractor because there will be free delivery of the forks.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. The next request is in relation to 14 electric hand dryers for the bathrooms at our recreation areas. The first vendor is Amazon, which has a price of $269.99 for a two-pack with free shipping for a total of $1,889.93. And the director is looking for 14 of these individual dryers. The next vendor is Global Industrial out of New Jersey at $232.95 per dryer for a total of $3,261.30. And the third vendor is Burroughs Commercial Supply out of North Carolina at a price of $364 per dryer for a total of $5,096. And this would be paid from account A7140.2, which is the equipment account, and it had a balance at the start of the night of $8,146.16. And the recommendation of the rec director is to go with Getlin stainless steel commercial hand dryer, 1800 watt, because it is the best price for the 14 machines that are requested. Somebody would like to move that.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? I just point out the reason that we're moving this direction is that this will be a huge cost savings to the rec budget. The rec director has indicated that just for a tournament, we're going through two boxes of paper at $107.98 for each box. So these machines eventually pay for themselves in no time at all. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Last item I have for the rec department. We have, he is asking that the board consider installing cameras at our entrances and exits to the park, especially in light of the recent tragedy here at our rural state park, and we're going through the budget right now. Logistically, it's going to require some expertise on whether we can even have that one of the entrances. So we'll be talking about that as we go through the budget process. In the meantime, if you want to secure pricing,
sure,
that'd be very helpful. The final item. He has received a request from Chris Garincio for a refund in relation to the softball tournament.
Yes.
In the amount of $2,850. And the town did incur expenses preparing the fields, I said bring it up to the board and we can talk about it. If any member of the board has an interest or a comment this time, it would be good to offer.
Have refunds been offered in the past in situations like this? Does anybody know?
We don't have a policy that provides for refunds.
Having speaking, spoke with some of the tournament directors. There was nothing in stone from past rec directors. At times there was credits towards tournaments. At times, I don't know about a money refund because that would be taking board action. It's something that I'm working with Jeremy and I've spoken with the supervisor that it has been brought to our attention and we need to button up our contracts and put this in black and white. If we're going to have open comments, I've had conversations with the same tournament director on other tournaments where we canceled games and we stood by the fact that we weren't going to return any money because we were there, we did it, he canceled in the last minute. This one, the entire tournament was canceled. Yes, it was last minute because obviously he's got $2,150 invested into it, but he tried to get the tournament off. I have a stance that we either need to return all the money or none of the money because we don't have that in black and white, which I am looking forward to working with Jeremy and the supervisor's office on that because there should be a percentage, just as any other contract, within 24 hours, cancellation, etc. I would be in favor of returning this money because right now there's no other tournaments to credit him for it for the remainder of the year. And jump in if I'm wrong, I feel that that would create a budget issue if we try to hold that payment until 2024 tournaments, which he does have scheduled. He is crediting back.
He is crediting back all the teams that were in his room.
So he is not getting a financial gain at this, he's crediting it back. Yes, we had staff on board, but without having something in black and white, I'm not comfortable just attaching a fee for having people there at this point. I don't want to, without setting this precedence, I don't want to turn away any future teams who wanted to do stuff in the town of Monroe of putting up almost $3,000 and something completely out of their control. They're out that money. I think this is a risk of us having the fields. Yes, we offer great fields at a lower rate, and I'd like to keep those tournament people coming back. So my stance would be to return the $2,850 to the tournament organization.
Can I ask either you or you whoever knows the answer a couple of questions?
Sure.
Can we have some clarity on what you mean by he's crediting back? He collected cash or payment from entities that were participating. Is he giving them back?
So under already the way I received multiple emails back from coaches that were in this tournament, and they said it's already paid for the next tournament. They're going to be walking the door for free to go into this tournament.
I understand. So I'll be quick. He's not refunding them.
Physical money. There's no refund changing hands. There's no cash moving anywhere. It's just they're going to have a free entry. Yep.
So I'll be very candid. This issue has come up with the same individual before, and I know that the individual that was operating the tournaments. In fact, did not credit or pay back the families that had incurred the loss, essentially, in a similar situation. And I believe the town did provide some sort of payment back or refund, a portion of that fee. And it's because of that fact, we have no guarantee that that money is going to get in the right hands. And I don't want to set a precedence, number one. Number two, I agree with Councilmember Stewart that this is something that has to be addressed in our contracts. And number three, there's people out there, farmers every day that plant crops. Maybe they get rain, maybe they don't, maybe it's drought. There's no guarantee they have a return on their investment. So, you know, taking all that into consideration, I don't think we should be moving forward with a return of the money.
I just like the record to reflect that he did come forward to us this year asking money and we did not return him money. He did not return anything to those teams. But my understanding and my reason for the full return, and I would be more persuaded to give him credit but I'm looking at Jeffrey's office and saying that it would create an issue if we were holding the 2850 over until 2024, or would we be able to push that money through to them? We could table this, and I could clarify with Jeffrey if we could do that without creating an issue, but I will stand by my point until I have that answer that I would be fine either way, okay. Crediting him for 2024 or making motions of return to 20.
I guess my... Go ahead.
Can I just ask my second question? I apologize. Does he have anything scheduled for next year?
So no term has been approved yet. It just went out. I requested it. It just went out yesterday to all the term directors in Albany. Now it's about terms before. It's going to be... It's supposed to be handed to me by Thursday night at 4 p.m. And then all the points will be added up. And then we will accept tournaments for next year.
My understanding is that he doesn't have a team.
That is true.
So, if my only concern is with him not giving money back to teams, but crediting teams so they can walk in free, if every team doesn't come back, then there's, unless that, you know, every team's coming back, but if every team doesn't come back.
Correct, that's probably a question Chris would have to
then
answer.
Then there's, I guess, money that we would give him back that he's ultimately not using up for an entry fee, right?
Right, so I don't know his protocol on if, you know, team A does not want to come back and hang on that date, because
right.
We know maybe all things schedule movements,
right.
Then what is his protocol? Is he going to cash refund them? Or I can't answer that question.
Yeah, right. So I think I'd be willing, if we're not ready to make a decision tonight, we're willing to table until we can get to the bottom of it, because I am right now in the no refund category or column only because it doesn't. If we were giving him a full refund, I would expect him to give a full refund back to everybody else. It only makes sense instead of giving half the teams free entry and then keeping the other half. If you will, we're writing a check for that.
And to be honest, that's the goal I've already talked to Mark about going into next year is we match their protocol of how they're going to return funds to teams if cancellation happens, percentage, goal, so on and so forth. We match that and say, give us yours and we'll match you. Or we just say A or B for next year. It's got to be writing. I've said that from day one. That's where I think this is a little bit of a loophole.
Yeah.
So
I guess it's my question would be to council. Could we make a motion that we return the money to the tournament organization upon him providing that all teams in that tournament were refunded their full amount, not credited? If they decided to buy into a tournament in the future, so be it. But that he, as an organization, is to provide that all teams that were signed up for that were refunded their entire amount. But that is something that we could put as a stipulation?
Just proof, email, or check.
Mm-hmm. And therefore,
16 teams.
So our concerns are being addressed because we're returning for that, or we're doing the exact same thing of we're holding on to an organization's money that we didn't have to provide the full service for. So I guess I was looking for some sort of response to that.
You were asking how
much? Yeah. Is there anything that we could put in there as a clause that if we said we will return the money upon that?
Yeah, we can make a resolution to that. But,
yeah. Well, I would make a resolution to bring it to discussion. I'd make a resolution to return the $2,850 to the tournament organization upon documentation that all teams that were signed up for that tournament were refunded the full amount as well.
Second.
Discussion. I'll lead off on discussion. So how are we protecting the taxpayers of that since they were, we had employees involved preparing those fields? Probably took about a day to run those fields.
Yeah, I think this is part of running. There's many days that we have staff down there above and beyond and nobody being used. I don't want to set the precedence that you come to the town of Monroe, we're going to take $2,800 from you and there's no refund in it. I think this tournament organizer has been a part of this for a long time, produced quite a good revenue for the town, and this shows our support to any other future teams coming back to it. But again, this is not necessarily to protect them, it's about what's doing what's right and protecting the future of the rep for our tournaments. I would have a hard time as our organization for a tournament to go sign up a $4,000 tournament and not get my money back and not have the precedent set in that. actually for $3,000.
The Parks point is that we have to get something in writing to cover these things, to cover our expenses in case something happens. Maybe we keep 10%, maybe we keep, you know, a set fee. But, you know, I understand that the idea that, you know, we're out here too, because the thing got canceled, we got people down there working and nothing happened. I understand that part. But right now, we don't have anything in writing. And I agree with Mark 100%, that I don't think we should hold on to $2,800 of an organization's money because they weren't able to play their game. That just doesn't make any sense.
I'm not willing to make a commitment at this point. I'd rather talk to the tournament director to see if he's really ready and willing to fully refund all teams back first. I mean, I don't know, is there a time stamp on this money that he's back by a certain time? Maybe he needs to be more involved in the conversation, because this is the tournament director who historically in the past has not given back money to teams if there's been problems, so, or they couldn't play in a tournament or whatever it might be. And for whatever reason that might be, he might know why that is, but I don't know. I'm not ready and willing to vote on a resolution that doesn't have, I haven't been able to see the whole thing from his perspective even. We know what ours is. We know what we're sharing here on the board, but I don't know if he's even willing. Like, I don't want to put a stipulation up that he might or may not agree to.
So that would say that if he doesn't agree to it, then our resolution, he didn't meet the resolution requirements, and therefore he doesn't get his money back. That's why I'm putting that in there to have it, because this is my stand on the ground, is return your money, and we'll return your money. If he doesn't want to do that, then our resolution didn't go anywhere. He didn't meet the requirements of it.
And I'm okay still waiting to have him answer those questions.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Can I just ask the director one other question? Do we even know who the other teams were? We know who the director was, but do we even know who all the teams were?
I can get a list of that, no problem. I don't have it readily available for you today, but I can get the list pretty quick.
Any other discussion?
I guess my question is, who did we have the contract with for him to use these fields? His organization, him individually?
What would it mean originally? When he...
Who came up with the $2,800? Who did we have
the contract with
to take $2,800?
Sure. The check is his name with the organization's name on it. So, it must be a business account with a bank that says the tournament, the team name with his name on top.
So it was a team that put the money for the $2,800.
Right.
Who do we have the contract with? I guess is my question.
Well, it's signed by
an individual or an organization?
Well, it's signed by an individual. Almost every one of our contracts is signed by the individual.
On behalf of an organization or?
Traditionally, yes. So his is tricky because he's still signed for the contract of the organization. But at that, when he signed it, he had a team. And as of right now, he doesn't have a team.
Well, if these teams don't get reimbursed, that's between the organization and these teams. I would think that they have to go after the organization if they don't give them money back. I think our responsibility is we didn't provide the service to the organization that signed the contract and gave us the money. So I believe we should give their money back and let the teams go after the organization. Because we get a contract with the organization, not with the team. Why are we getting involved in giving refunds to teams, I don't know. We contracted with an organization, correct?
Right.
He was a signee. He was representing all of that organization.
Right.
So if these people don't get reimbursed by that organization, that's for them to go after their organization. We have a contract with the organization.
Would we have any legal connection to that if he doesn't pay them back in the field of the tournament? Would there be any legality to that? And that's my concern. That if he doesn't pay them back, can they actually come back at us too as a host of the fields? I know it's a tricky question, but
that's my only question now.
It feels as though there's some more information that needs to be gathered, from my perspective. The fact that he doesn't have a team, is that relevant to the fact that he may not be running the tournament next year?
Potentially he has enough points to qualify for a term, yes. On our point system currently, one of the sections is, do you live in town? do you have how many girls on the team? And one of the questions, how many tournaments have you held in the last 3 years? So he does qualify for a tournament.
I guess I'm trying to get some more information back on that.
I can do that, yep.
Yeah, to me, it's about the fact that we went on a contract with an organization, no matter who that organization is, to have a tournament. We didn't host the tournament. We didn't provide the fields. They were there. Something out of the organization's thing. I really hope that we can get the information. I really want to set the precedence that come to the town we're going, we're going to charge you for the tournament, and we're not going to return your money if you cancel it out of something that's you couldn't control.
I'm pretty sure that insurance companies don't provide reimbursement for acts of God. I don't know why the town would, but it's totally up to the board. Any other discussion? Hearing none, clerk, please call the roll individually.
Councilmember Stewart?
Yes.
Councilmember Noonan?
No.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
No.
Councilmember Donahue?
Yes.
And Supervisor Kuznias?
No. Motion fails. Anything else for the rec?
Yes.
I'm sorry, trunk or treat.
Hey, I want to speak a lot. I feel like speaking a lot tonight. I would like to put into place that we do a trunk or treat this year. In the past, the last couple of years, it has grown to be a pretty big event for the town. Community Coalition has always done it in the past, and I was told recently that they don't exist anymore. I couldn't find anything true or false to that, but they don't. I'm looking to try to get the same process they had in the past with the hay rides and face painting and food trucks and pretty much produce the same thing they've done in the past to keep the event flowing and bring it to the community. It's a safe way for kids to get candy and businesses like to get in there and promote themselves and be part of it.
So what's the date that you want to run this?
I'm looking at October 29th between 4 and 9 p.m. held at the park.
And you'll have enough staff to ensure that things move smoothly through
the community. And I know the community center has participated in the past with us, so I'm going to get them involved also to help along the way.
So I don't know how the board feels about it, if you want to continue it as a town project. I think you indicated when we chatted earlier today you're going to have food trucks. And
correct.
So, does the town have liability because this is now a town-sponsored event and in the past has not been because we're serving food to a third party?
Yeah, town should notify the insurance carrier about what's going on.
So, traditionally we've got a peddler's permit, like they come in anytime they do for food trucks or softball or baseball tournaments, and all these people that we would bring in have the peddler's permit, so they know that the rules of their insurance is in place.
So the town would have to be.
A name insured on anybody.
Initial insured, okay.
And then they were their insurance policy.
I'll verify that they're all on there.
There's a certificate naming us for that event.
Perfect. I'll verify that they're all on.
If the board wants to do that, the motion would be to establish a trunk or treat evening at Morrell Rec Park on October 29th from 4 to 9 p.m. And food vendors will be required to name the town Morrell as an additional insured, and the rec director will ensure that the proper paperwork is in place before allowing them onto town property.
I made the motion over.
Sorry, any discussion?
Just real quick. Will this be in a more lighted part of just because it'll be dark 4 to 9 and that night, it's always been done in the past during the day. So I just, in terms of safety.
Sure. I actually copied the last 2 years' time frames. Normally 4 to 6:30 was the candy part.
Right.
They do the food trucks until 7 or 9.
Okay.
That area, they had at one time a movie. That's what made it go to 8 or 9 o'clock.
Okay.
We don't have that accessible to us.
I guess I didn't realize it went so late. I knew it was earlier. I thought it was earlier in the day. My apologies. If you're following a system that already works, it makes sense.
I believe it works.
Okay, sorry.
And then just under discussion,
I know since this was previously ran by the coalition, we allow businesses to set up, you know, trunk or treats and advertise along with political campaigning. I just want to put it out there to discussion now if the legality of that, and are we allowing you know, businesses to advertise during this event while it's over there? Actually, so I know that people have already reached out to the rec director asking if they could set up booths and if we're doing it. So I just want to make sure that we can either, that we can have businesses do it. I know last year, I believe Carrie Warner was there. I want to make sure that we're just setting the precedence across the board if we can.
I don't have a feeling one way or the other at this point. Yeah,
I just want to give the rec director the right direction, as he's already got a very tight timetable to make this happen. For discussion, I'm fine with it if we're going to put it across the board to everybody, to our local businesses. I just hope that the idea and the mindset behind it is this is for the kids. This is to hand out candy in a safe environment, not to push businesses or political agendas on any side.
I mean, I've been here personally, my own children went through it. And traditionally, they open, like I said, a trunk or treat, so they open the trunk up, and they'll have a little light advertisement of who they are. Hey, thank you, give a candy, and go. I mean, in the past, I've never been, my children have been pushed, or we haven't seen too much of that. I think people know their boundaries, at least I hope it stay that way, you know.
I just didn't know if it changed being in the town event or not. I'm fine with keeping it as it was. We've had no issues.
I know a couple of years ago when I was running for this seat right here, I thought about bringing my truck and signs down, but then I thought against it. So I don't see it that it should be a place for political campaigning, since, but I don't put that in the same category as business either.
Right. So
yeah, I feel very strongly. This is for the kids. There's no room for political agendas of any sort. There's plenty of opportunities elsewhere. It doesn't need to be part of this event, and I would not support allowing anybody in the park, a political group, campaigning for a political cause.
You know, the thing is that I don't have a problem with that as long as you're right, it is for the kids. Now, should Joe Blow's shoe ship store have a place there, or a restaurant has something set up? You know, we're either going to allow organizations or not allow organizations. Is it going to be just individuals? Is that what you're saying? Let's have just individuals in. But I mean, if somebody's in there, if say I set up a booth, and I want to shake hands and give kids candy, I'm selling myself. I'm not out blocking the crowd, everything else, people come to me, I give them candy, talk to them, they want to talk to me. You know, same thing as Joe's shoe shop. He's going to be there, he's going to have his sign out there, somebody wants to ask him about his product, and ask him about his product. But I feel if we're going to eliminate any kind of organization or business, let's do it across the board. Let's do it across the board. It should be all inclusive, or just families and friends. I don't think there should be any Jews who would participate in this.
I don't view a political party as a business.
I know my experience with trunk or treats in the past, particularly one of our Tanglewood School, when people who have owned businesses have run their car, their boot, their trunk, they might put a sticker on that says, thank you from such and such family, but I don't, and you knew they owned a business, but you didn't know their business was passing out the candy. So, you know, there was that difference too. They were a business owner, and they were passing out candy as a parent or citizen, not promoting their business. So, that seemed fine to me at the time. Still, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
So I think we're getting a little off track. The issue was on whether or not to allow trunk or treat to take place based on the resolution that was offered. Any other discussion?
So that we're not setting any. Nope. All right. Let's open everybody.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Anything else on the rec?
I haven't visited anything.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's enough for the
exercise.
Alrighty, moving on to agenda item 4 for Water and Sewer Department. Board members should have a copy of the map plan report, draft map plan report for sewer district consolidation that was prepared by the LaVerge Group. This is a process that's going to entail several meetings with an eventual public hearing that will be held, and based on the timing, we're probably looking at into early December. Earliest would be end of November. I don't think we can make the timelines that are required by statute, but I do. I don't know if all the board members have had an opportunity to read it. I have, and it was actually quite an eye-opening read, which raised some very disturbing issues that the town is currently faced with. They're enumerated in the report. And for the public's benefit, I'll just give you a brief synopsis of the executive summary. The town commissioned the map plan report to evaluate the feasibility and assist with consolidating the existing sewer districts in town. Currently, the town of Moreau operates 7 sewer districts and provides sewer service to outside users on a contract basis. The sheer number of districts complicates budgeting, accounting, operation, and management. And although some of the named extensions, the districts are treated as independent districts, with some users paying based on the number of equivalent dwelling units, and others based on property value, acreage, and water use. More importantly, recent sewer system investments will now benefit all users of sewer, but not all districts are currently sharing in the costs equitably. So the town recently revised the sewer ordinance to standardize billing schedules. However, budgeting and planning for individual district costs remain complicated to implement. And it's a very thorough description of what has transpired over the years. And if you look at section 6 in the report, where it specifically spells out the sewer district's reports that our special counsel and the town engineer was able to piece together with limited information, a synopsis of what has actually transpired here in the town of Moreau. And if we go back to the beginning, and that was the creation of sewer district number 1, which is the Moreau Industrial Park, when the map plan report was conducted in 1998, the waste flow generated by the industrial park was earmarked to be 150,000 gallons per day, with a peak hourly flow of 243 gallons per minute. Then the next first extension came along with sewer district number 1. Extension number 1, it was the Leonelli apartment complex. This was in 2008. This project was an apartment complex, is an apartment complex located near Harrison Avenue and Sisson Road intersection. The district serves 384 one- and two-bedroom apartments. And in the August of 2008, the town purchased an additional 40,000 gallons of capacity from the city of Glens Falls to accommodate extension number 1 wastewater flows. Unfortunately, the purchase incorporated new terms into the facility agreement, making future reserve capacity purchases cost prohibitive. During the review of the sewer records, it was noted that the town had collected fees of $210 for per unit for 144 units associated with the system reserve phase one and phase two. But the troubling part is that the report indicates while no connection fees have been collected for the recently completed 240-unit apartment known as Harrison Village. Moving on to this extension number two district, which is Bluebird Village Apartments. It would be sewer district number one, extension number two. This was a project that was built, provides for 244 two- and three-bedroom apartments. And again, no additional treatment capacity was purchased from the city as required for this facility. And then we move on in 2012, the sewer district one, extension number three, which was referred to as the Nest. They had approval for basically four lot developments. Three of them were for 64 units, senior assisted living. And the third was for 94 units, subsidized senior apartment building, and then another 100 unit market rate senior apartment building. The report at that time estimated that the average flow would be for 38,640 gallons per day. And the developer was required to own and operate a gravity collection system and install 2,100 feet of an 8-inch force main to be turned over to the town. Neither the collection system nor the force main have been installed to date. Another problem for the town to solve. The developer submitted an escrow deposit with the town to ensure installation of the 8-inch force main. The report notes that the 8-inch force main was not installed by the developer, and was instead installed by District 1 Extension 5, the project that we just did over here on Route 9. As such, the town should be determined whether the funds deposit and escrow can be assigned to the force main installation costs since the developer did not complete the work as required. That was, again, in 2012. In 2012, another project came before the town, Harrison Place Apartments. Harrison Place is a district that serves 26 apartments, 66 bedrooms, and Harrison Place owns and operates two lift stations, a gravity collection system, and a 2-inch force main. Similar to the previous district extensions, no treatment capacity was purchased for this development, and treatment capacity was taken from the purchase by district number one. Again, cutting into our potential for economic development. Moving on to sewer district one, extension four, which is Harrison Quarry, Bluebird Trace Apartments. This project had a map plan and report that was completed in 2014. And this project included a 2,300 foot, 6-inch force main installed by a developer. Again, no treatment capacity was purchased for this project. So it wasn't until the project was extended with extension number five, the project we did on Route 9, which was completed began in 2019. This was the first project, unlike previous extensions, where the town attempted to purchase treatment capacity for this district, but we could not justify the cost as described in the report titled County Force Main Connection, dated October 2022. So instead, the town was able to secure cost-effective treatment capacity from Saratoga County. So we have a lot of money that has not been provided to the town. We intend to take the necessary steps from the developers to ensure that the town is made whole. But the most troubling part is that we had a department head during that period, former superintendent of water, Jesse Fish, that was made aware as recently as 2021 that certain things had not been accomplished. And that they needed to be with recommendations from the town engineer. He was informed that The fourth main issue, they strongly urge a technical review of the Leonelli pump station before the Water Development Department approve it. And we have no record that the water superintendent at the time asked any engineer representing the town of Monroe to complete a technical review of the pump station design or its connection to the town's force main. And further, upon reviewing multiple subsequent engineering reports, it was noted that the capacity was not available in the industrial park force main because of the way the apartment complexes were allowed to connect to the town system. So, what this report indicates that is that consolidation in conjunction with tying into the county wastewater treatment system is the most cost-effective way, cheaper than going to the city of Glens Falls to provide our ratepayers who utilize sewer to have an affordable option to dispose of their wastewater. And you know, the fact that you know, it seems like a developer appeared to receive special treatment borders on the line of malfeasance, and the town will be reviewing through council, special counsel, and the town engineer all means to ensure that the town receives the necessary funds it is entitled to.
Can I ask
a
question?
Sure.
Did the water superintendent at the time have an obligation to ask for a technical review from the engineering firm representing the town?
So before before certificates of occupancy are provided by the building department, they reach out to the water superintendent to ensure that all the necessary requirements for sewer and water have been met before they issue the COs. I have a correspondence here between town engineer and our current water superintendent that indicates that our current building inspector was told that by the then water superintendent Fish that they had met all these requirements.
Okay. I have a question on COs. When can we figure out how much revenue, I guess, is owed back to the town as part of that oversight?
Right. So the Mike Muniak, our current water superintendent, is working with the town engineer and special counsel to come up with an accurate number. I can tell you that we're in the neighborhood of over $400,000 right now.
Okay.
Is that current pricing or from the
That's based on the fees that were employed. So we will be moving forward with the process of consolidation. I think at the next town board meeting, we'll have some additional documents that will require action, and they'll be prepared by special counsel for a sewer district.
So we're not unreasonable or unusual as a town to expect these fees for that work that was done, right? I mean, we're not making this up just to have more money.
No, we're unusual in that we're a town that did not ensure that the town was paid the necessary fees prior to issuing COs. Okay.
Thank you for telling me. Yeah.
So that will be an agenda item for our next board meeting. Mm-hmm. Agenda item 5 is health insurance. As I indicated at our last board meeting, we will be moving forward this evening with the necessary resolutions to ensure that our town employees continue to receive health insurance, including those represented by the CSCA union, bargaining unit. And we do have sign-off that I received today for a memorandum of agreement that was signed by a representative of CSDA, and it's something that I, as supervisor, need authority from the board to sign to be able to move forward so that they receive the negotiated health insurance deal. And I do have the memorandum of agreement. I'm going to read it into the record just to ensure that the public is aware. And the MOA states that this memorandum of agreement is made on October, we presume, 10th, 2023, by and between the Town of Moreau and the Civil Service Employees Association, Local 1000, AFSCME, FLCIO, for the Town of Moreau unit of the Saratoga County Local Number 846, CSEA, as follows. Whereas the town and CSEA have entered into a collective bargaining agreement for the period January 1, 2022 through December 31st, 2024, and whereas the deductible for the CDPHD HDHMO 324 health insurance plan for 2024 will increase from $2,200/$4,400 to $2,500/$5,000. And whereas no one in the bargaining unit is enrolled in the MVP Liberty Silver 3 HDHP health insurance plan, and the town will no longer provide enrollment in such plan, now therefore the parties here to agree as follows. Number one, effective January 1, 2024, the MVP Liberty Silver 3 HDHP health insurance plan will no longer be offered to the bargaining unit employees, and the following shall be substituted for the first paragraph of Section 4 of Article 11 of the party's collective bargaining agreement, which states, effective January 1, 2024, the town shall offer enrollment to all employees in the health insurance plan known as the CDPHBHD HMO 324 plan. The insurance plan or the benefit structure of the plan shall not be changed without mutual agreement between the town and CSEA. And the town shall have the right to change insurance carriers for health insurance purposes. The town agrees that benefits will be equivalent to the plan currently in effect, and the town agrees that it will fund the deductible at levels of $2,250 for single person, $4,500 for two person slash family. If the deductible increases beyond $2,500 to $5,000, the party shall negotiate or the impact of the increased deductible. Dependent coverage of children shall be afforded in accordance with the Affordable Care Act and subject to the employee's contributions to premiums as provided herein. Number two, all the provisions of the party's collective bargaining agreement not modified herein shall remain in full force and effect, and signed by Representative CSEA.
You make a motion authorizing
I'll sign it. Authorizing the supervisor to sign the MOA.
So,
second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So now we've taken care of the union. We need to take care of all of our employees and we'll have a resolution. We can read it into the record if you would like. Town Board Resolution, Town of Moreau, dated 10-10-2023, where the Town of Moreau offers medical insurance, dental insurance, and vision insurance for active full-time employees and eligible retired employees. Whereas the current CDPHP, HDHP, HMO 324 medical plan renews on December 1st, 2023, with a deductible increase from $2,200/$4,400 to $2,500/$5,000, and whereas the Town of Moreau offers a health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA, which covers the first portion of the deductible for employees and eligible retirees, and whereas Marshall Sterling serves as the Town of Moreau's health benefits administrator for medical and dental insurance, so therefore it be resolved that the Town Board accept the renewal of the CDPHP, HDHP, HMO 324 as the medical plan for the insurance year beginning December 1, 2023, and ending November 30th, 2024. And so it will be further resolved that the Town Board increase the HRA for employees to $2,250 and $4,500 for those employees and retirees who select the plan, and And so be it further resolved that the town board additionally offer a renewal of the current dental insurance plan through Guardian Insurance and the current Vision Insurance Plan through the CSEA. And so be it further resolved that the town of Monroe authorize Marshall and Sterling to contact City PHP and Guardian Insurance to administer these plans on the town's behalf. Motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item agenda 6, aging and youth services. Great news for the town. Annually, we sign a contract with Saratoga County for our youth and aging services, and there was some money left over, which I was able to secure for the town of Monroe, because in their words, the county's word, the town does such a great job administering their youth programs. Because our expenses exceed the amount of the grant, they wanted to provide us with additional funds to the tune of $1,200. So we'll take that. However, it does require us to amend the contract for that increase. So I'd be looking for a resolution to authorize the supervisor for amendment of a minor contract between the Saratoga County Municipal Corporation of the State of New York and the Town of Monroe Municipal Corporation, also in the State of New York. And that would be in the amount of increasing the program funding, grant funding, from $3,040 to $4,240.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 7, the supervisor items. Just briefly, I want to go over, I released my budget required by law, actually a day early last Friday, tentative budget for 2024. We're again able to decrease the tax rate. Last year we decreased it by 4.25%. This year we're decreasing it by 6.06%. So that means the tax rate, as it's currently presented, will go from 0.906998 cents per thousand to 0.852070 cents in 2024. Very good news. This budget uses no general fund balance to balance it. We have, since I've taken over, reduced our reliance on fund balance. When I took over, we're spending almost $1 million of fund balance to balance the budget. And this year's proposed budget, that number of combined use of all fund balances is only $374,509, and that's on a $9.7 million budget. We again continue to not utilize the fire tax, which has saved our residents directly out of the pockets $3.39 million because we funded the sales tax. Yet we were able to increase funding for the fire company in this budget. That increases by 12% with a doubling of the amount for allocation of a new fire truck. Typically, the contracted amount required to earmark $50,000. This proposed budget earmarks $100,000. For the purchase of a new vehicle. The sales tax is still used to fund the highway operations because we no longer have a highway tax. So we're very dependent on how well Saratoga County continues to do. And, you know, fortunately, we continue to do very well as compared to other surrounding counties. So we've already had a first round of budget workshops. We have another round tomorrow night. Obviously, all board members will have an opportunity to weigh in. We're hopeful that there's only minor changes to the numbers before we move for adoption, but that's where we currently are as of this point in time. Want to make the public aware that I was able to get the Saratoga County Department of Public Health to hold a COVID-19 influenza vaccine clinic. It's going to be held here Friday, October 27th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then again from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And individuals must register ahead of time. Walk-ins will not be permitted. And the number for public health at the county is 518-885-2276. And again, this will be for the COVID-19 vaccine, which is the Moderna variety, and the flu vaccine, which is using the Fluad Adjuvanted brand. And anyone who is questioning what that means is that the flu vaccine has enhancers that make the immune system respond better, because it includes proteins and sugars. So this information is on our website. Anyone 65 and older wishes to participate. There will be no out-of-pocket costs to the individuals. Next item I have want to make the public aware that I have worked to have a guest speaker come to Southlands Falls High School on October 19th, which is a Thursday. Chris Herron, I don't know if any of you are familiar with Chris Herron. He was a basketball legend from Fall River, Massachusetts. He was an All-American, where he broke scoring records and was recruited by the nation's top colleges. Mr. Herron realized his lifelong dream of playing in the NBA before losing his career and almost his family to the disease of addiction. He's been alcohol and drug-free since August 1st of 2008, and he's spoken to over 1 million students nationwide with the goal of sparking honest discussions and making a positive difference in their lives. And his presentations are known to be inspiring and empowering the audience, guiding students to rethink how they look at the disease of addiction from the last day to the first. So again, that will be on Thursday, October 19th, 2023, and it will be from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the high school.
Yeah, and I don't think it's open to the public, it's just for the students. So, yeah. They did share that because there's so many things that we have to do that are outside of our classroom right now. So the principal kind of shared with we got one more thing to throw your way.
Right.
But it's important.
Yeah. And, you know, they're also doing it for my colleague from Clifton Park at the Shenandoah East High School. They're doing that on Wednesday, October 18th, the day before. Just an update. I mentioned at the last board meeting that we're working with the Lake George Land Trust, operated by the Zug family, where they'll be donating, I think it was almost 50 acres down by the river. And just to update everyone, Stephanie Bitter of Part of Stewart Road, who handles real estate transactions, is working with representatives of Mr. Zug and the trust, and hopefully we'll have that all taken care of the next board meeting. Received correspondence from the Sartori County Department of Aging and Youth Services. Says in close, please find two public hearing announcements from Sartori County Department of Aging and Youth Services. Please post immediately in the conspicuous location. First one, is notice of public hearing. Take notice, Sartori County Department of Aging and Youth Services will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, October 31st, 2023, from 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Town of Half Moon Senior Center. Take further notice that the purpose of the hearing shall be to obtain input, suggestions, and comments relative to the programs for aging for the year 2024 under the Title III of the Older Americans Act of 1965 as amended and the New York Community Services Act for the Sartori County Planning and Service Area. And take further notice that the plan abstract may be examined on October 16th and 17th at the Sartori County Department of Aging and Youth Services. Located at 152 West High Street. And then the other public hearing for the same purpose will be held on Thursday, October 19, 2023, from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. at Galway Town Hall, 5910 Galway, New York. And the last item I have for supervisor items is the monthly mortgage tax receipts. And this is for the period of September 1st through September 30th. The town of Monroe collected $14,118. If you compare it to last year for the same period, we had collected $62,565. After supervisor items, we do not need, unless somebody else needs an executive session, do you need that? Anybody? Other business? Any other business?
I have something I'd like to bring up. It's that time of year where the residents over in the Pine Valley Drive neighborhood like to host a Halloween block party on Jerome Lane. Same as it's been now for 7 years. All the neighbors are informed through a flyer. They look forward to it. We explain that, it has nothing to do with me at this point, that there will be, while the drone lane will be closed off, there'll be access to everybody's home in case there needs to be emergency vehicle or whatever to get down the road. I think it only ultimately blocks maybe five homes. All the homeowners at this point look forward to it. So on behalf of some of the residents that are now running that, I would like to make a motion to allow Pine Valley residents to host a block party on Jerome Lane, 10:31 from 4 to 6 p.m.
Second. Any discussion?
Is Chris going to take any action?
Well, my next question was if Mr. Abrams, if they could drop some barricades off.
Do you know how many you need?
They usually do two on the corner of Pine Valley and Jerome, and then two down on the corner of Condon and Jerome. And then a couple cones.
No problem.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any other business before? If not, agenda item 10 is privilege of the floor. Any member of the public? Did you raise your hand?
No.
Any member of the public wish to be heard, please state your name and address for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes to address the board. Please keep your comments germane to town business. Yes, ma'am.
Who are the developers?
One is for the Nest. I don't know who developed the Nest, and the other is Scrimmerhorn Holdings.
So is Leonelli, is that the one that's Harrison on Harrison?
That's right. We have our engineer, but is that accurate?
Yeah, there's a few of them. Harrison Place, Bluebird, Trace, Harrison Quarry, Leonelli, which I think is Harrison Village now. Seems like there's one other than this one.
And is it true that the former water director now works for Skimmerhorn Holding Companies?
I believe that's
accurate.
Is that going to be an issue for the town and the taxpayer, Bridget Martin, from the village of South Lawrence Falls? Is that going to be an issue for the taxpayer that our water guy, who's now working for the developer, who didn't bill them for $400,000 in counting, is that going to be a liability for the taxpayer? And that's my question.
Thank you.
Any other member of the public wish to be heard?
Absolutely. Maureen Dennis, my home address or my work address?
Home address.
21887 New York Route 22, Hoosier Falls, New York. I'm here on behalf of Skimmerhorn Properties. As far as I'd like to go on formal record that I take exception and oppose the resolution 2023 267 268 because it was not formally presented or posted in accordance with the town law or the open meeting minutes. And that's my other question is, how would I go about getting this draft map plan report that you talked about under item four, that it wasn't posted to the website? I know the agenda wasn't posted until about 10 o'clock this morning. It wasn't posted 24 hours in advance. And I believe it's supposed to be 72 hours in advance for the town of Monroe because the meeting was scheduled well in advance. So how would I get my hands on a map plan report? Please tell me, not by foiling it, because I'm still waiting on foil back to July.
It will be available if it isn't already on the town's website.
Okay. And as far as your discussion about the Leonelli property, I know for a fact Skimmerhorn bought into the town or the city of Glens Falls usage because we paid the fee in 2019. The check wasn't cut to the city of Glens Falls until February of this year. And I don't know why it took the town of Monroe 3.5 or 4 years to send the check to the town. But we have 63% of that 40,000 gallons that are reserved. And it, according to the contract that I have, that was signed by Harold Leonelli, who passed away July 31st of this year, 40,000 gallons were earmarked between Parcel A, which was Skimmerhorn, Harrison Village, and Parcel B, which is the Grove at Sisson. It's a total of 384 apartments. 240 is Harrison Village, 144 is the Grove at Sisson. It's my understanding they paid their share in 2013. Skimmerhorn bought the property in 2016. We paid connection fees to the town in 2019 along with the usage fees. And like I said, the town didn't pay it to the city of Glens Falls until February of 2023. I don't know why. But as a matter of fact, I have a copy of the letter that you sent to the city with those funds. So I'm anxious to get a copy of that. And also, I'm curious why the resolution that confirmed and approved another $25,000 being paid to LaBarge Group. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. I apologize. Was also not posted on record. Notice, public notice to anybody. It was just passed in the meeting minutes, but the meeting minutes, ironically, still are not posted. The draft for September 12th is up online, but the regular town board meeting minutes for August 29th are not yet published to the website. The audit meeting went up 3 weeks ago, but those meeting minutes are not up yet. There's a lot of questions. It seems like there's a lot of lack of transparency. Okay, thank you for your time.
Sure, and I can answer your question regarding the minutes. As you know, this has been school tax collection season. For whatever reason, the town collects school taxes with no benefit to the town. And that's something we're looking into. I can't find an agreement. And it takes a lot of time, but most importantly, as you're well aware, We have seen a plethora of FOILs coming from you, which is very time consuming, ties up staff that would be doing other things like minutes. So we have to address the FOILs first. And so that's probably why you haven't seen the...
But they haven't been addressed, Todd. They haven't been addressed. I've been waiting one for one from July 31st.
Just because you don't like the answer the town provided doesn't mean we didn't answer.
No, you did not provide a copy of the invoice. There's not a business or entity in this country that doesn't have to maintain documents and records for a certain time frame. Correct me if I'm wrong, Counselor.
So there's more to that story, and as you recall, you were provided with a ledger.
I was provided with a spreadsheet.
Yes.
And a spreadsheet was created by whom?
If you don't want me to talk, that's fine, because we'll adjourn the meeting. But if you want to hear a response, I'm happy to give it to you. What would you like?
I would like an honest response.
All my answers are honest.
Okay. So, that's up for discussion.
Well, I'm not going to debate that.
So the software, so, I was told by Brenda, the software don't allow you a copy of the invoice.
So the FOIL law requires that you get what we have in our possession. We are not required to create a document. Okay?
I asked if I could come in and look at the ledger. Can I come in? Will you open up the accounting for me to come and view?
No, I'm not going to do that. We can't.
Why?
I'm not going to do that.
Why?
Why would I?
Why not?
We provided you
if you have nothing to hide, why would you not open your records?
We provided you with the information.
But I don't believe you.
Well, that's your opinion.
And I have no way of tracking it. I have no way of tracking it.
We provided you what we have.
But, okay. We're going to address it.
Any member of the public, wish to be heard? If not, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.
All right, I'll take the car.
Did we push the
car?